I think you're lit.
I'm really lit. Do.
I
oh,
think
yeah.
so. I'm just saying.
Now, is that, is not, is it too dark in here?
Or? No, no. It doesn't mean anything to do with the darkness or the lightness, Andrew. You're so out of touch.
Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak. And Tim, I think we're going to have some fun today.
I anticipate that.
I do too. Because we're talking about the language of the next generation.
Yeah.
We're going to get into Generation Z. But even just thinking about when a generation invents new words, it's a really kind of a funny concept.
Yeah, it is. I'll just go back to my childhood. I think the baby boomer generation in the 60s and 70s, well, first of all, that was the first generation that we heard the term generation gap.
Oh, yeah.
It was a gap between the grown-ups and the kids. And it was an enlarged gap because rock and roll music was relatively new. Marijuana was making its way onto the campus scene. We called it Mary Jane. You know, that was kind of a hidden thing.
That was the thing to do. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. But yeah, there was a gap, and that gap continues. In fact, I think the gap is enlarged now because social media enables kids to completely hide things. So my generation thought my mom and dad don't have any idea what my life is like because I have these terms.
Yeah.
Now it's actually possible that mom and dad would have no idea what their life is like.
What I think is important about that is adults today are looking at the next generation, saying these things and going, I don't have a clue. Like you and I, we'll do the quiz at the beginning of one of our events, and you always make the joke, which I think is hilarious. You give some words and phrases, see if you can figure out what Gen Z is saying, and then you say, how many got it all? Okay, how many have no clue what's happening? Yeah. And there's about equal hands in those two categories. But what's interesting is this is not the first generation for whom this has been an issue.
That's
right?
Correct.
Like you just brought up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's rewind the clock because I think this will be fun. Let's go back to baby boomers and talk about what are some of the phrases that you guys used when you were growing up that were like your parents had no clue what you were saying?
So I'm going to have to rock the memory banks here. But if I remember correctly, when I was, this would have been the 70s that I was a teenager. We had first of all, in the 60s, the term groovy came out. I remember there were adults, what's groovy mean? Are you in a groove? No, it has nothing to do with
Yeah.
But it was just
you know,
groovy.
When I think of that phrase, I think of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
That was the only place it really got used when I was a kid.
You know, it's much later when an animated cartoon now uses the term.
Yes, exactly.
You know. Cruising, we were cruising, and that meant you're driving your car along a strip, you know, of road, and you're not going anywhere in particular. You're just driving.
That was how you hung out with your friends.
Yeah. We would call somebody that was a bit of a misfit a square. You're so square.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And a female that was really good looking, she's a fox. She's a fox. Yeah, I remember saying that, feeling so cool myself.
That is hilarious. Let's talk. I mean, neither you or I is in Generation X, but
there
are some terms that came along with Generation X. Do you remember any of those?
I do, because I was a late baby boomer.
Yeah.
Tail end of my childhood, the Xers were already coining their terms. You may laugh at this, but one term that was quite common was drop a dime. I got to drop a dime. That meant I'm going to use a payphone. Well, today, a kid has a cell phone, not a payphone.
Extra layers of I don't know what they're talking about.
That's right. Well, and even if it is a payphone, you probably have to pay installments to use it. It's so expensive. It's not a dime. It's a quarter, two quarters, whatever.
That is hilarious.
So I remember Xers. I was teaching Xers at the time. They used the term radical. That's rad.
Radical. Oh, yeah.
And radical was, that was far out for the boomer.
Yeah.
We boomers, that's far out.
Oh, yeah.
So gnarly.
And
you're gnarly. Yeah. Remember Saturday Night Live? There was some scenarios where they would play on these words.
Gnarly, yeah.
Yeah. If you got somebody with an accusation or a witty claim, you psych.
Yeah.
Yeah, psyched you out. I just did something
psyched you
to
out. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Exactly. Dude. Yeah.
Now, see, we were still doing that in the 90s when I was growing up, too. But
that's
true. Definitely was a term that was coined in that.
Yeah,
that
tail
era.
End of Xers, beginning of the millennials.
Yep.
The bomb. Now, that was one that made it into the millennial vernacular, but
yes.
She's the bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that seems so horrible. That
definitely parents were confused about these
phrases.
Right. Yeah.
And do you know fat, P-H-A-T?
Oh, yeah.
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 So those were some of the terms, I think, Xers. And I do think that I was just old enough at that time, I thought, I better look that up. You know?
Yeah. You were just out of touch. That's right. How I'm starting to feel right now about Generation Z. I'm knocking on the door of 30 thinking, sometimes you just can't keep up with all of it at a certain point. So
I want to hear some millennial terms.
You
were born in the late 80s.
Yes.
So what would be some terms?
I mean, I think about typically when I think about my childhood that I can remember, it's mostly the late 90s, early 2000s. I thought of, we use the term hot all the time, where you would say a girl is a fox, we would say hot. Cool beans.
Yeah.
I have no idea where that came from, but we used to say that.
Not very appetizing.
No, cool not, at yeah. not at all. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I know you grew up with kids who said that.
Yes, I did,
One term we would say is, this kind of came a little bit later, late high school, college, but we would say somebody was extra.
Okay.
Right, when they were kind of, they were doing too much, they were overdoing it, they were maybe bragging about themselves, like, okay, calm down, she's extra right now.
Yeah.
dog, I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
With a WG.
That's right, dog.
Yeah, D-A-W-G, which of course we're in Georgia territory here, they still say dogs, but
that's right.
But that was, that was how you would refer to your friend, he's my dog, you know.
Yeah.
And then another term is basic. That you
talk about that.
Basic would be like somebody who's just kind of fitting with the norms, not really standing out, like that kind of thing.
Basic.
So it was sort of an insult with a tinge of kindness, sort of.
But civility.
Civility, yes. Yes. That, good word. So before we get into Gen Z terms, because this is really interesting to see how things shift between generations. Every 20 years or so, it's almost like we have a whole new vernacular. We'll get into, I think with Gen Z, it's spreading faster and changing more rapidly. We'll get into maybe why a little bit. But I want to talk about the terminology itself. Why does a young generation feel the need to create these terms? And I would look back on my growing up years and say it kind of happened organically. Somebody just used a word and then I started using it and all that kind of thing. But I think there is a degree of intentionality to it. Why does this happen?
Yeah, I think it has to happen, actually. And I'm not saying it's good, but I just think it's very natural. Every time there's an emerging generation that grows into adulthood, in the process, they break with a previous generation. And then they correct two generations ahead, and then they completely replace. So you'll have retro terms sometimes come back to go, where'd that come from? 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think as Gen Z breaks with millennials who are cool, but we're cooler, you know, that sort
exactly.
of thing. I think it's just necessary. In fact, I love what Kansas State professor Mary Cohn said. I want to read this quote. She says, language is a lot like fashion. Teens coin words and slang partly because using their parents' jargon would be a lot like wearing mom's jeans.
Yeah.
You know, they would come across as old-fashioned, out of touch. So we have to invent terms, even if they didn't make no sense to a 30-year-old or a 40-year-old, because I've got a break. And I might point this out. Gen Z has grown up in a world that has totally been able to separate as a demographic. So go back 100 years, adults were with kids. Kids were with adults. In fact, kids looked forward to becoming adults. Well, now you can be in a silo. If you're a 17-year-old junior in high school, you got your social media silos, plural, with different Instagram profiles and Finsta and everything else. So I love what Mark Bauerlein said, Emory professor. He said, kids have never been so present with each other. So we've got complete times of the day where there is no adult guiding, counseling, directing. And we moms and dads want to direct, so we probably overfunction when we are with them, supervising. Yeah. But I think that happens every generation for sure.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I mean, even if you look at a normal kid's full day, even the adults that interact with them are talking at them, most likely, not talking to them.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got a teacher who's talking at me, you know, the principal in the hallway talking at me.
Yeah.
Even when I get home, my parents talking at me. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do that? The only people who are talking with me or to me, who I'm having relationship with, are people my age, right?
Yeah.
So I just sort of naturally sort of siphon and silo myself
and
sort of hang out with those people.
So let me explain why this happens. It's not good, but let me explain why. We adults see the potential of our young people, whether we're teachers, parents, coaches, and we see you doing the wrong thing. We see you not measuring up, not getting it right. So the moment we do get a chance to communicate, we talk at. Correction. Well, no kid wants that. So they're going to spend time with each other, with someone that actually accepts me for who I am.
Yeah.
So I know this has been said for generations now, but moms, dads, teachers, coaches, we've got to talk with them, not at them, and somehow build a trust relationship so that we can say, did you ever think what that might lead to or whatever?
Yeah.
And pose a question rather than talk at.
That's so good. That's such good insight.
So you might remember this, Andrew, when your generation, the millennials, became, well, you were still kids. Text messages were the first way that you could kind of communicate in writing, but nobody would know.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point, is I think millennials sort of started and Gen Z is fully in the middle of
it. Yeah.
If you didn't have a car, you were sort of limited in your ability to get with other kids, build some of that language or those different siloed effects. Mm-hmm. Today, I mean, it happened in my generation with cell phones, but even today with kids on their smartphones, there was introduced at an even younger age an ability to build relationships with people my age. So you got a 12-year-old with a cell phone who's in an entire other world from their parents, even though they're still in their house.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think that sort of accelerated what we saw with language and some of those things.
So, I think so. So the text message codes that you might have used, you know, POTS, parent over the shoulder, or TAW, teachers are watching. Now that might not even be as necessary because we've got social media. And it, as you mentioned, it depletes the need for them to be with their friends in person if I'm hanging out all the time on a smartphone.
Yeah, and those codes were designed for speed, sort of say something quickly, and also designed to hide what you were saying from your parents if they came and looked at your text messages. Kids don't have to do that these days because they've got entire apps their parents don't even know they
That's
have.
Right.
Or an entire app that their parent doesn't even know how it works or what it does or any of those kinds of things. So they don't feel the need to code their text messages as much anymore because they're doing that on an entirely different social media platform.
So mom and dad might know one of their Instagram profiles, and they think they know it all, but they've got four others perhaps that mom and dad have no idea
exist. Different friend groups and all that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So let's get into some of the phrases and different things that Gen Z might say today, and hopefully maybe we'll be able to glean some insights from what are we learning about today's generation because of the phrases that they're inventing.
Yeah, so let's banter on this one, Andrew. I'll start us off, but you and I both have a list in front of us that are fairly normal terms that any Gen Z kid would go, you don't know that?
Exactly, this is not maybe things that you and I would say, but as we're reading and learning and talking with kids, these are things that keep coming up.
Yeah, no doubt. So here's one, F2F, face-to-face.
Yep.
In my generation, all your relationships were face-to-face. We would have had to do S2S, screen-to-screen, if it was, today.
That was the abnormal thing.
Yeah, so Generation Z, the data shows us they're dating less because they're maybe dating online. You know, they're meeting online. And it's let's meet in real life would be a term that, you know, maybe might be.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking we used to say is LMIRL, let's meet in real life.
Yeah.
Very good.
Another term, juice. So that would, if you use that term, that means you've got credibility, you've got my respect, which is interesting because the first time I heard the word juice in really that way, it was O.J. Simpson. He was the juice, the O.J., orange juice, you know, and so now it has it's been reiterated.
Yes, it has.
There's a repurposing of it. But juice can also mean, and this is the problem for adults today, it can have a double meaning.
Yep, so a lot of these terms do.
Yeah, so that can be alcohol, booze. Yep. So you got some juice, and mom and dad see that, and they go, oh, he wants some orange juice.
Yeah.
No, it's a little harder than orange juice.
Yeah, and it depends on who you're talking to and the context that the kid would understand which meaning it actually was about.
That's exactly right. You need to look at context. It could also mean drugs. So, juice might mean a term that completely connotates illegal drugs or drug abuse. But so I guess, we need to kind of be on the lookout.
Exactly.
So walk us through another one.
Yeah. So one that I thought of, I've heard a lot from kids today is the term flex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And flex is like bragging. So it'd be like you're flexing in the mirror, right?
Yeah.
You're sort of enjoying what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
So if a kid said flex today, it would be, bragging about something that may or may not actually be worth bragging about. So sometimes you'll see online, somebody will say weird flex. Like it's weird that you're bragging about that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I was learning the other day that one flex that kids have online is trying to get what they call OG usernames. In other words, on Instagram or Snapchat or one of those social media profiles, they're trying to get a username that is like, instead of a typical username, which has maybe some meaning, but it's got numbers and all these kinds of things in there. They're looking for just like a single word. So yeah. Car or awesome or whatever terminology that is. So they're looking for, and they would say that's like a bragging rights, right? It's like having fashionable footwear, like or a Gucci bag, or you know, some of those kinds of things. So it's just interesting how that term has kind of come about.
Yeah. So one term that we're hearing about at Growing Leaders, it's actually a couple of terms: KMS, KYS, kill myself, kill yourself. Now, that could certainly be used just in a jovial sort of way, a joking sort of way. Oh, man, I'm going to KMS. I'm going to kill myself. But far too often, you know, teen suicide rates are high now with the anxiety and depression that's going on. So if I was an adult and I saw KMS, I might want to look a little closer.
Absolutely.
Not suspiciously, but just I want to make sure you're just joking on that one.
Yeah.
Because far too often we get signals of a suicidal thought. I recently read about two teenagers that were messaging each other, but they were sitting next to each other, and he messaged her and said, I'm thinking about KMS, and he was not kidding. And he didn't even have the wherewithal inside the backbone to say, I'm having suicidal thoughts. He had to message it or text it, and she immediately took some action. And it was good that she knew this is not a joke. I know he's really struggling right now with anxiety. So I don't want to over fear. I think we do that sometimes as adults, but we need to be paying attention when we see that term KMS.
Yeah, it makes me think, like, you know, on one hand, you would hope that they would have the gumption or the gall to actually tell somebody, hey, I'm thinking about this.
Yeah.
But I'm also thankful that there's a really easy 3-letter way for them to just let somebody know, I'm having these thoughts and I don't know how to handle them, you know. So it is something that we should all be looking out for.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Try another one.
Okay. One that I think is pretty funny is thirsty. You hear that term sometimes. This is somebody who really wants attention, right? So it's got that same like parched like desire, that kind of thing. So they want attention usually from a specific person. So if you see somebody paying a lot of attention to somebody, somebody might say, she's thirsty for that guy or whatever, you know? So that's just a funny term.
It is. Well, and let me add to that. Part of the world that has been created by the adults is the world of social media. Now, kids are taking advantage of it, but, you know, so many kids, you found out in our focus groups, are living for likes, for shares. In fact, their popularity is gauged not by where I sit in the lunchroom, but by my platform. You want to just mention that
real quick? Yeah, no, that happens all the time where you've got a kid who... Basically, their social status is not established in the physical spaces of their life. It's established in the digital spaces of their life. So if they look at all the people that they know in their local community, the people who have the most followers, get the most likes, get the most retweets and all that kind of thing, those are the people who basically are at the top of the social food chain. So you're not only competing with the people in your community for attention within your community, but now the whole world is kind of entered in. So you might have somebody in your high school who has 10,000 followers, and they're from outside of the community, and so it kind of elevates the popularity of that person. You know, we haven't talked about this, but I actually, my most recent focus group, I was talking with a freshman in college, and she told me that through high school, she would not send posts like happy birthday messages to her friends. And the reason that she wouldn't is she said happy birthday messages don't get that many likes and comments.
And
I didn't want to post something that didn't get likes or comments.
Wow.
And she said, I realize in the last 6 months that was totally ridiculous. Yeah. Like, this is about my friend and I need to be, but that's how pervasive it is in their brains. You know,
just, what we say is not determined by what's inside of us, but what will get a response.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
A little scary.
Yeah. Everything she was posting had this sort of filter that she was passing it through.
Yeah. So this term is a little on the edge for some of our listeners maybe, but smash. And that's just another maybe civil way or appropriate way for them to talk about hooking up or having sex. So if minors are talking this way, just know it may be their invitation to Netflix and chill, you know?
Yeah.
And again, not the end of the world, but again, it's just sometimes these kids in middle school are – seeing this language and then using this language, and it's way before they're ready for any kind of responsibility that goes with that.
Yeah, the language almost creates this barrier where they could talk about adult things without having to use adult language.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
I think that's where the danger sort of is.
Talk about throwing shade.
Yeah, so throwing shade is a, I think it's a hilarious term, but it's sort of like when you're insulting somebody, but you're not, it's not a, like attacking or aggressive necessarily. Yeah. So it's talking negatively about a person or thing, but a lot of times you would use the term throwing shade sarcastically. Yeah. You know, if you stood up to somebody, they'd be like, oh, he's throwing a little bit of shade, you know.
Yeah.
I actually, one of our staff members invented the term habishade the other day. When you use a habitude to call somebody out, you know, like, are you working on your iceberg or not?
Yeah,
he's
right.
like, that's habishade. I thought that was
right.
hilarious.
It's a rebuke. It's a friendly rebuke using an image rather than real words.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Right. That's funny. Tweaking is a word that we commonly use as adults when we mean we need to make a slight adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
For an adolescent or even a college student, perhaps, tweaking might be getting high. Usually on amphetamines, but again, if you're seeing them talking using this term, you might want to check the context out.
Yeah.
It may mean only making a minor adjustment, but it also could be I'm using illegal drugs.
Yeah.
So.
And this is not to be confused with twerking.
Yes,
which
that's
is
right.
a dance move.
Yes,
so,
that's true. Yeah.
But look out for both of those things.
Add one letter.
Yes, and
you've
it's a totally different thing. Very
absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
Another one is we haven't talked about is beef. That's like a disagreement, hostility between two people. So if two people have an argument or they're not in good terms, you would say, hey, they've got beef. So that's just,
now here's what's interesting about that. That was big. I mean, I don't know when it came about, but that's a retro one. My parents, who raised me as a baby boomer, would say, "What's her beef with him?"
That is so funny.
Yeah, so it's just made a. And of course, now today, this is the first time a Gen Z kid's heard it. Oh my gosh, we made up this word. But it's just come back around.
It's another sign of what you were talking about, where it's like I want to separate myself from the generation right before, but I may resurrect some things.
That's
from farther back generations.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Another term we could bring up is DMs. You hear that term a lot.
Yeah.
You might see somebody say, DM me, and be like, what is going on? That means that the conversation they're having has moved from the public space to a private space.
Yeah.
DM stands for direct message.
Yeah.
And every social media platform actually has a direct message feature. So you can publicly post on Twitter, or you can have somebody direct message you. Same thing on Instagram, same thing on Snapchat. So if you see DM, just know that conversation hasn't ended. It's just moved to a more private space.
Yes, yeah.
And a lot of times it's for "quote unquote" sinister purposes.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to move to DM, that means you're talking about something you don't want other people to
know
about.
Yeah.
So all kinds of things could be brought up in those conversations,
including throwing shade.
Throwing shade.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So.
So we've talked about a lot of these terms.
Yeah.
I mean, and we could probably talk about 100 more because this generation has possibly invented more than any previous generation with the help of the internet and social media and all those things. What are some, as you think about these terms, what are some insights that you feel like we could maybe glean from what we're learning about today's generation?
Yeah. A couple of things come to my mind. One, I alluded to this earlier, but I'd like to camp out on it just for a minute. I think every generation of students believes that the adults have no idea what their life is like.
Yep.
You know, we've heard this in focus groups.
Yep.
My mom and dad have no idea what
Not
my life
clue.
Is like.
Not a clue.
Yeah. And I think to a degree, I did some things that my mom and dad never knew and I never shared. In fact, to this day, I've never shared with my mom and dad.
Yeah.
But I actually think it's more possible today than ever because of the vast world of social media. You can actually have a world, an other world that you live in that may not be what you're portraying in the house that where you live that mom and dad have no idea. And this is why sometimes angst and depression and even suicides can happen. People go, I would have never guessed that about him. It's because he's lived in another world and you did not know or at least observe that other world.
So whereas in a previous generation, they may have felt like mom and dad don't understand me, but they probably understood maybe a little bit more than even that kid thought. Today we might say it's actually more possible or more likely that they are in a world that you don't understand.
Yeah.
Or there is a division just because there's so many extra layers of separation between older adults and younger kids.
Yeah. So let me bring up another thought that I think it's just important for listeners to just know exist. As I'm digging up research on Generation Z for the new book we're going to release, we live now in a culture that one might call a binge culture, B-I-N-G-E. Yeah. We can binge on almost anything because so many things are on demand.
Yes. And free.
Yeah, that's right. Free video. You can binge on porn. Yeah. You can binge on Netflix, which is not porn, but it's just you can watch House of Cards all day long if you want to.
Yeah.
Nothing inherently evil with that, but that leads to addictive behavior.
Yeah.
Unless you're really intentional about your habits and attitudes, your disciplines, the ability to binge like never before usually leads to impulsivity.
Mm.
And the data I'm digging up, we have a generation of kids that are just as high potential as any generation.
Yeah.
But boy, unless we build great disciplines in their life early on, they can binge. And here's why. Brain research tells us that the adolescent brain is the second most important part of development in a kid's life for the first 20 years. In other words, the first most important part would be the first 5 years. Your early toddler infant brain is really developing.
Super formational.
Fast forward to 12 to 18, huge jumps. And our brain forms from back to front.
Hmm.
So the last part to be developed is the prefrontal cortex. We always joke about that. Oh, he's not fully grown. He's 25, you know, or whatever. But the truth is he's not fully formed. So the part of our brain that wants to take risks is formed, which is why a teenage boy says, let's see if I can go off this cliff on my skateboard, you know,
or
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, that's not smart.
Yeah.
Well, the part of his brain that says take a risk because you're going to get a lot of likes, you know, on social media as they videotape this has formed. But the part that goes, that's probably not a good thing to do, hasn't yet formed. So I guess I would just want listeners, whether you're teachers or whatever you are, to be thinking, how do we create internal habits that put boundaries up on the binge culture, the addictive culture, the impulsivity culture, which, by the way, we've adults have participated in too. The Washington, D.C., you know, there's a lot of binging up there on things that aren't wise, including Twitter, and we just need to be, I think we need to be building habits probably more than ever before, because now you can do whatever you want whenever you want.
That's so good. That's so good. I do. I see that all the time, you know, kids just addicted to regular things. Yeah. And even asking them, one of the questions I ask about is like, what things are you binging? That's kind of step one.
Yeah.
Step two is always, how do you know it's gone too far? Mm-hmm. That's one thing I'm curious about is like, I feel like I could see where the line is in a kid's life. Like you've watched too much, but I'm curious where they think it is.
Yeah.
And most of the time it's some physiological reaction. Yeah. Well, when my, you know, when my feet start to go to sleep or I start to get a headache or like that's when I know, oh, I've probably gone too far, you know, or it's way past the time that I said I was going to stop and I actually need to go study or do my homework or whatever. So it's just interesting. I don't feel like we've given them this bingeable content, but we haven't given them knowledge or even advice sometimes on how to decide how much to put yourself into this and how much to guard yourself from it.
So you and I both believe in metacognition. We both believe in giving kids responsibility for their life as they get older, not when they're seven, but when they're 17. I think what we need to point out is here's the data, which we just shared, and then maybe we give them some suggestions. Kevin Kelly was the first person I ever heard say this. Our smart technology advances so quickly, it outpaces our ability to civilize it.
Yep.
So what if we said, all right, if you're going to play video games, set a timer for yourself. I'm not going to do it, but you set a timer for yourself, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And of course, in my house, we kind of did this and we said, however many hours you have in front of a video game, you need to have that many hours face-to-face with a real person.
Yep.
So you're learning both skill sets. Be good on a screen, be good face-to-face. I think we need to foster good decisions that way with the binge culture that we have today.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. So thanks so much, Tim, for this conversation. I think this is really important for understanding how today's kids are thinking, how they're talking, and how we can interact to hopefully help them figure out how to navigate this sort of 21st century environment where not just because everything is available to you, is it actually good, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So if somebody's listening to this and you're like, this is really good, I want to dig deeper. I'm thinking about a few resources where you could. You know, first of all, the blog that you write 3 times a week is a really great resource where you're constantly digging up new information, and it's really sort of a precursor sometimes to some of the information we're working on in this book that's going to come out.
Yeah.
But I would also suggest, and you can, by the way, you can find that at growingleaders.com/blog, but I would also suggest Marching Off the Map, our most recent book, which just does a really good job. We feel like we're a little biased, but we do feel like it does a good job of introducing some of the problems that today's generation are facing some of the trends and changes that are going on in our world today, and how you make adjustments to meet them where they are and help them get where they want to go, right?
You're not flexing on me, are you?
I'm not flexing at all.
Okay,
all
right. No, just stating facts.
I'm just trying to be, factual.
Andrew, you're groovy.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Coming from you, I know how much that means.
That's right.
So anyways, the blog, I think, is a great resource. Marching Off the Map, another great resource. You could get that at marchingoffthemap.com. So pretty easy there. Thanks for listening. And as always, we'd love for your comments, suggestions, all those kinds of things. Send those to podcast@growingleaders.com. We love hearing from you. Tim, thanks for this conversation. Thank you for joining us here on the podcast, and we'll see you next time.